Hang on a minute.
That's not seamlessly.
Hey, I'm Dibs, and welcome to Sibling Rivalry Disorder, a podcast discussing everything from Stephen Hawking to Stephen Universe, with an eye to finding out if people from the same family, house, schools and town can actually completely agree on anything. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Good. It's been a while.
It has. Too long.
With that in mind, I thought I would mix it up a little bit. Do you remember Mark and Lard, was it?
Yeah. Radio 1 afternoon show jobby was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it them that did the Tedious Link? Or was that Chris Moyles?
No, they did do the Tedious Link. Oh, no. Maybe Chris Moyles... it was Dave, wasn't it, on Chris Moyles' show did a Tedious Link, but Mark and Lard did the same thing long before.
I thought it would be kind of fun to link the subjects for today's podcast, and some of them are extremely tedious, others not so much. But the first thing, can dreams come true, with a caveat or two? So the first being, if your dream is to be a magical unicorn, I'm going to write you off. You're not a part of this discussion because, you know, reality.
I'm glad you've added that already because that saved a huge amount of...
Yeah, but there's also, it's that subjective thing again, because to some people, becoming an actor, for instance, is just as unrealistic as becoming a unicorn. But let's use reality in the actual definition of the word, rather than unlikely, and go with that. So what do you think? Can dreams come true?
Yes. I think the problem we have is, I think dreams is the wrong word, though I don't have a better one to replace it with. But I think in the eyes of 15-year-old Benedict Cumberbatch, he would call being Sherlock Holmes and a huge movie star, that would equate to a dream. But I just find dreams tedious.
I'll give you another dream that could have been Benedict Cumberbatch's, and that little screw-up feeds right into what I was about to say. Learning to spell his name at school, I bet that was a dream for ages.
Yeah. In the dictionary definition of dream, as in something that goes on in your brain when you sleep, I have zero interest in reality connecting with that at all.
Yeah, that's not quite what I was getting at. I meant a dream come true.
Yeah.
I was using dream in that sense.
Yeah, winning the lottery, getting that huge promotion, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, they not only can come true, they do come true for many.
But they also don't for many more.
That's why it's a dream, because you have to work your arse off and get that little bit of luck to get there.
I don't even know if luck comes into it. I'm of the philosophy that, aside from being a magical unicorn, there's not a whole lot that's out of your reach. So long as you're prepared to put the time and the work in, and it take a long time in all likelihood. There's that saying, you know, practice makes perfect. That kind of is the same sort of thing.
It is, but Lewis Hamilton dreamed of becoming a Formula One driver, and so did I. And nobody bought me a go-kart when I was 4 years old and took me to a track week in, week out.
But that's not luck, that's money.
It's not even that his dad was rich, it was that his dad had the time and the courage to take that decision and run with it. That was kind of a shared dream between him and his dad, but the success that comes of having started when he started and being as determined as he was, you definitely have to put in the hard work.
Naturally. A little bit of talent helps, so I wouldn't argue that.
No, but at the same time, if his dad wasn't his dad, and his dad was working three jobs to make ends meet, then he would have never had the opportunity to be where he is now in the first place. So I would say luck does come into it.
See, that's just not luck for me. That's circumstance.
Yeah, but the luck is that he has that circumstance.
Well, maybe.
As we said before, he fell out of the right vagina.
Yeah, I just don't buy it. There's so many people who came from absolutely nothing.
Yeah, Felipe Massa used to work in the bleachers at the Brazilian Grand Prix racetrack and ended up as a Formula One driver.
Yeah, which further proves the point that you don't need to have fallen out of the right vagina or have a dad that's passionate about the same things and wants the same things you do.
Not necessarily, but at the same time,
on the other hand, his dad could have had all the passion in the world and that dream, and then when Lewis hit 14, 15 and...
found a girlfriend.
Yeah. If he hadn't had the grit and determination to keep on, it still never would have happened.
Yeah.
Regardless of all the money and, you know,
yeah,
stuff. So, yeah. I think it comes down to how you handle it. If you have a dream and you sit on your hands and do nothing about it, that's why it remains a dream.
Yeah.
You have to do something. I wouldn't say anything was too big in the realms of possibility.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see somebody else's take on that, I think. Because I've had arguments with people about it who like the phrase pie in the sky, you know, that sort of attitude to life.
That's a phrase that I've never really understood.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, you know what it means, but you've no idea where it comes from for me.
I'm not sure I even know what it means. Why would a pie be in the sky?
I don't know. Why would a pig be in the sky? It's the same thing.
Yeah, but the pig being in the sky is the impossibility of it is the point of that saying.
Apparently, it was in a rallying song of a union, the International Workers of the World, or Wobblies. And the full saying is, work and pray, live on hay, you'll get pie in the sky when you die.
Which, oh, right.
Now makes even less sense.
I don't know. With people's belief of an afterlife and that God is in the clouds, that actually, I can understand where it came from now.
But yeah, 1911, which makes it not all that old.
No.
A lot of them are far older.
Yeah.
But if that's all your thoughts on that, I will seamlessly link into the next subject.
Go for it.
Feeding back into what I said about why I think dreams are achievable.
Yeah.
I found a subject on the Google Doc that said, best made plans, ...
Of mice and men, or...
No, I mean, that whole philosophy that the moment you plan something, you're planning to fail, basically. I vaguely remember a conversation between you and a nameless friend. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to name him here. I remember standing in the garage and you two were talking about how you should never make plans, because the moment you make it a solid plan, it's obviously just going to fall apart and never happen. Whereas if you keep it loose and spontaneous, it's more likely that it will happen. Do you remember that?
Kind of. Whose garage were we in?
Mine.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Do you still subscribe to that philosophy?
Yes and no. I'm older now. I'm a fair bit older now. And I have children, so it requires an hour and a half's planning to spend 5 minutes getting out the door.
Oh,
what?
I had decided last night when I was going to sleep that after I'd done the intro, I was going to make a point of congratulating you on the birth of your daughter, which hadn't happened when we recorded the last podcast, and I completely forgot until you just said that you had children. I didn't forget they existed. I just forgot.
Thank you, anyway.
Does that count as swearing? Yeah.
I don't think so, but I'll bleep it anyway.
Well, you'll have to bleep yours now as well.
Yeah. The spontaneity of something has merit, but if you are aiming to achieve something, you need... It's not so much... My opinion isn't that you shouldn't plan something anymore. It's more that you should have bullet point goals to achieve along the way, rather than having a stringent plan and a stringent time frame that you won't want to deviate from. In much the same way as when we recorded the New Year one, we were saying that if you have a New Year resolution and you sod it up at the 8th of January, then it's almost like a deterrent to continue doing it. Whereas if you just decide in May, I'm going to stop smoking, and you don't smoke a cigarette until Christmas, you got a much better fluidity to the fact of I've done 6-7 months, I'm going to just get back on it. So I wouldn't say that I'm anti-plan, but unless, I guess the way I would put it was, the shorter the time frame of the thing that I'm trying to achieve, the stricter the plan would be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm sort of similar. When it comes to planning, I like to pick my battles. There's certain things that I much prefer to be spontaneous and not planned at all, other than deciding, oh, I'm going to do that. You know, that's as far as the plan goes.
Yeah.
But with other things, I will sit down with a notepad and decide how this is going to work. I do the bullet point thing, not all of the time. Sometimes I have to go into way more detail, like, you know, outlining a book. That's essentially making a plan.
Yeah.
For what's going to happen. And usually I choose not to do that particularly heavily before I write the first draft, because the less time I've spent on it, the more likely it is that if something cool pops into my head and I think, oh, that's a great idea, I'll be happier to deviate away from the outline.
Yeah.
Whereas if I've spent weeks writing the bloody thing, I'd be far less willing to move away from this solid idea that I'd come up with. But I think this is rather subjective. I know people who once upon a time would have their day completely scheduled down to the minute. And if that was deviated from in any way, it was chaos.
Yeah. Disaster strikes. Yeah.
Yeah. And for that reason, that's why I prefer not to be as tight with it. I don't want to lose my shit.
Yeah.
If, you know,
yeah, something gets cocked up or delayed. Sick. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to have enough fluidity about it that I'm not going to freak out and I can just get on. But my philosophy on this is ever changing.
Yeah.
3 years ago, I wouldn't have planned anything.
No.
I might have been in a plan that somebody else had made.
Yeah. Actually, that's an interesting point. If somebody else had planned something for me, even when we had the conversation in the garage, if it was somebody else's plan, I would do everything I could to stick to it.
Yeah. But that's probably coming down to loyalty and courtesy.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not sure my opinion has changed that much. I just think I'm a bit more succinct with my words now. I think the way I described it to you just puts over what I actually meant then when I wasn't as accurate with my description.
I think having kids changed me. You know, before I had very little in the way of responsibilities, you know, real ones.
Yeah.
Not the things you laughingly call a responsibility when you're a teenager. No offence, teenagers.
I don't think I ever call anything a responsibility when I was a teenager.
No. But like, I had a job, but I did that for the money. And it's just different when you've got a small person who, you know, it's your job to keep them alive. And to some degree, entertained and educated somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And for me to realize my dreams that are not necessarily connected, I mean, they are, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to have some sort of plan.
Yeah.
Because if I tried to do it on the fly, it wouldn't happen.
No.
And it's changed the way I schedule.
Yeah, mine's changed quite a lot recently for the same reason. I have two kids, one running about and one needing constant attention. Yeah, two in the house.
Yes, I know. I'm just clarifying because you're going to confuse people.
Yeah. Then the time that I spend working on the creative things that I'm working on, they have to be picked moments as well, you know, because we keep having to reschedule things like this.
Yes.
I don't know. I suppose it's just life I don't want to say life getting in the way of plans, because the life is part of the plan.
It is the plan. It's the overall plan, anyway.
That's it. But it's the four light bulbs thing. You occasionally have to dim some of the light bulbs to ramp up your efforts in other areas. Are you aware of the four light bulbs thing?
I don't think so, no.
No?
I've probably heard it another way, but not as light bulbs.
Yeah, the four light bulbs, you've got 100 watts to spend on four light bulbs. Your friends, your family, your work life, and your social life, I think it is. And you can...
That last bulb would just be turned off most of the time for me.
Yeah. So it's a case of choosing how much wattage goes to what bulb. And something will suffer for something else to be able to be frightened for a while.
Well, that is the main thing behind planning, isn't it? The most important first step of any plan is, what is my priority?
Yeah.
And then you plan everything else around that, you know.
Yeah.
Like I was just saying about being a mum.
Yeah, the family light bulb needs to be turned up quite high.
Yeah, but then I would argue that The work one for me is probably turned up quite high too, and everything else is like off. I can't even remember what the third one was. What was it? Family?
Friends.
Yeah. There's a little bit of friends, but not much. Not a very social person, as you know.
Yeah, but if somebody was to offer you another 100-watt battery, would you offer more of it to your friends? Or would you...
I don't really want to say that, in case someone's listening. No.
Well,
I wouldn't. They've got lives of their own too, and their own priorities. And when we get a moment, and there's a chance to, you know, catch up, then for that small space of time, the work light bulb would be turned off, because I can't work and do that at the same time. But for the most part, the extra 100 watts would be spent turning the family and the work bulbs into 100 watt bulbs.
Incandescence.
Yeah. For me, anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not the same for everyone, but I think...
The thing is, it's a fluid thing. For me, when I was asked that question, I imagined that these bulbs could be altered by a switch day to day.
Is that not the case then?
I imagine it to be. I don't know if this is even anything other than internet speak that's come about with this. I'm not aware of any study or anything that came up with the four light bulbs. Mm-hmm. There may be one, but yeah, as far as I'm aware, you can up some sometimes and dim some other times. Yeah.
Well, life is fluid, isn't it? It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense if you couldn't.
Yeah.
Sort of linked to the best made plans. I want to draw your attention to subject number three, which is WTF is this. I'm not saying it because I don't want to swear. Subjects on the Google Doc added by each of us that we have no knowledge of. There are several things on the Google Doc.
Oh, there are many.
That I have put on there myself, and I genuinely have no idea what I was thinking about when I added it. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, there's a few of them for me.
The best laid plans, you see. The best made plans, rather.
I think a large part of the reason this happens is because we don't just enter it like a diary entry, because we can both see it.
Yeah, and you want to keep some spontaneity into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the one above, Twit of the Week.
Yeah. That was added by you. Do you want to tell them what it says? Or do you remember what that one means?
It says, unicorn motherfuckers. And it says that because I was being spontaneous. But, like, within the space of a week, like, five people mentioned unicorns to me.
They're bloody everywhere. You can't
walk
without bumping into a unicorn, and they don't even exist.
No, I know. Charlotte went to buy the baby an outfit the other day, and I had to stop her getting the unicorn one and get one with flamingos on it instead.
You know what annoys me about this the most, right?
I hate unicorns. I mean, they kept Voldemort alive. Why does anybody like unicorns?
Yeah, but that, in fairness, the unicorns in Harry Potter weren't like in-your-face, obnoxious, rainbow-coloured annoyances.
Well, to be fair, you only really saw them when they were dying. Or dead.
Not in the books. I don't know about all of the films because I haven't seen them all. But the thing that bugs me is if I walked around with a t-shirt with a quote by Stephen King, you know, and it had it in quotation marks and then said his name at the bottom, I would get so much crap for that. Like, oh, you like him, do you? You know, and all this rubbish. The man has made millions. You cannot deny whether you like what he writes or not. You can't deny that he must be doing something right. And he exists. But I'm labelled a nerd for, like, liking someone that's done something worth respect.
Don't say nerd like it's a bad thing.
They say it like it's a bad thing. That's what I'm getting at. And yet, these are the same people that walk around with a bloody unicorn on their chest and they're 40 years old. I'm like, you need to get a life, don't you? Maybe you could do more. I had nothing against, like, little girls and stuff with unicorns. You know, I get that.
Wait. Are you anti-unicorn?
No. Like,
Oh, I am. I hate them.
I'm not anti any myth. I think myths have their place. I just don't think it's on a grown person's t-shirt.
I don't think unicorns have a place in the universe.
If you're a grown-up and you want to have a thing about a mythical pony, what the hell is wrong with Pegasus? Someone tell me that. Nothing.
Nothing. I just don't understand unicorns. I don't like them.
Yeah, but did you have a problem with them before it was suddenly like a thing? Like before they were everywhere?
Yeah, I did. But I never had to tell anybody about it. I've never liked unicorns.
Well, you're a boy. I suppose you're not really supposed to like them.
No, it's the idea of them that I don't like. The only good bit about Harry Potter was with Voldemort staying alive was that I got to see a dead unicorn.
Ooh. And all them Potterheads out there are going to be hating on you.
Yeah, that might be slightly controversial.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was worth keeping Voldemort alive just so I could see a dead unicorn.
Well, in fairness, you know, it would have been an incredibly short story if the unicorn hadn't been there.
It would. That was an act of pure genius on J.K. Rowling's part.
One of many.
Is it Rowling? It's Rowling. I'm sure I remember Stephen Fry once saying it's rolling like bowling. And somebody, I think it was Lee Mack, responded hilariously.
But I always thought it was Rowling when I was a kid, but I know that I was saying it wrong when I was a kid. But I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
We've
sidetracked.
Yes.
Because the unicorn motherfuckers is not even one of the ones that I don't know what it is.
Can I mark that one off as being done now?
Yeah.
I might as well.
Please do. Yeah.
Okay, so find something on that list. The more obscure, the better. And we'll have a guess.
Yeah, all right.
It has to be something you added, though. And I'll pick something
Yeah,
like
it
that.
Is. Example story, open brackets, senility kicks in.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
I've got no idea. The senility has kicked in.
I wonder
because I've got no idea what that was. Maybe I did that on purpose.
I'm wondering if you added senility kicks in weeks later when you noticed it on the list.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Couldn't remember what it was.
What the hell was I talking about? Yeah.
Example story of what? What could you possibly have thought would be a fantastic thing to bring up and put on the Google Doc in a podcast?
I don't know, but the one above it is real stories, which I'm not entirely remembering now, but I think...
Would it have been quicker for me to ask you if there was anything on the list that you do know what it is?
No, there's loads there that are easy to cover, but I think the example story was a response to the real stories one going on. I wonder if I was meant to put this in the punishments. Because you've got something in the punishments about coming up with a haiku or something, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, and I wondered if this might be one of these come up with a 50-word story or something like that.
Was it a haiku?
Yeah.
Yeah, soppy haiku to your school crush. That was heavily influenced by Stephen King, who is featuring in this one quite a bit.
Yeah.
Hi, Stephen. I have one, and I remember writing it on the Google Doc, and I remember thinking, this is going to be absolutely hilarious. But further than that, I have absolutely no knowledge. All it says on the doc is, happy chocolate. I've got a funny feeling it's something to do with mum text dad the shopping list, and autocorrect changed whatever it was meant to be to happy, and then he texts back saying, what is happy chocolate? Like a completely serious question.
Why wouldn't you have put some brackets there?
Because I don't want you knowing. If you know, then it's not funny because you've heard it before. So that's why mine are always like ridiculously short and abrupt. And I don't give any explanation, but that's why I forget.
Cryptic's all very well, but it can't be cryptic to you.
Yeah, but I thought I would genuinely remember that because of how funny it was. I was killing myself, you know, and I thought I'd never forget.
I can't imagine what
the
word happy is supposed to be replaced by.
I put that March the 15th. Was when
Wait,
I wrote
how
that.
How did you find that out?
Because I highlight everything I put on there and put added by dibs. And when you put a comment on the side of the Google Doc, it records the date and time that you made the comment.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you tell me that before?
Because, A, you were being the lazy sod and telling me to highlight my stuff so you wouldn't have to.
Yes.
So why should I? I realised there was meant to be a B there, but I can't remember what that was either. Is there anything else on there you want to bring up? There's no point us holding on to them if we can't remember what they are. We might as well have a crack about it now. See, most of mine, as I'm looking through, actually aren't that bad. I've done a good enough job with writing my sentence that I know what it means.
Yeah, most of mine are pretty good as well.
Ah, there's one. Irish Q&A.
Well, you've got no idea what that is.
No, I suspect it's like doing it backwards, because that's, you know, usually anything that's called Irish something or another is doing it backwards, isn't it?
I don't know. I like that. What's that? Jeopardy, where they give you the answer and you have to come up with a what is a flowing river type answers.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I'm sorry, you've never seen Jeopardy?
That's correct.
Okay then.
When did they even make that? Isn't it donkey's years old?
No, it's still going now.
Is it?
The Americans love it, yeah. It's not on British TV anymore, but all the way through the 80s and 90s it was.
That is probably something to do with it then.
Wasn't Watson won Jeopardy? You must have seen that story.
Nope.
You know Watson, is it IBM? I think it's the IBM sort of almost artificial intelligence thing. That won Jeopardy.
I didn't see it. I've never seen it with anyone on it.
Fair enough.
I've got one here that just says fleek.
I remember what that is.
Oh, well, I'll just shut up about that then.
No, because it's yours.
No, that's one of those ones. I think I put it on there because we were talking about it and you asked me to add it to the Google Doc.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, we were about to record the New Year episode and I said something like, oh, look, my hair's on fleek or something just before we turned the cameras off. And you added that immediately.
It's bloody irritating.
Fleek is there basically as a stupid words that young people use that we think are funny.
We could come back to that. There are many.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of mine actually aren't all that bad. The point I was getting at is a lot of the ones that I can't remember, I kind of know were really good ones. And that's probably why I was even more abrupt with how I wrote it on the document.
Yeah.
So that you wouldn't guess what it was.
There's one here that I think you put on and it's not highlighted. It says splitting image.
Oh yeah, that was me. And I know what that means, so it's all good. But yeah, best made plans. That's where this gets you. That's why that saying is around, because the plan was put it in the opposite of... No, scratch that. Put it in such a way that nobody's going to guess what it means. The trouble is,
yeah.
Nobody is exactly what you get. If you put it on there several weeks ago, you know, because, I mean, how many things do you think there are on this Google Doc?
A lot.
Yeah, there's like 4 or 5 pages.
5 pages of it now, yeah.
Yeah, and this document has been being added to since about December last year.
Yeah.
So it's dead easy to forget what on earth you're talking about, and is the perfect example of planning not working.
Yeah, although to be fair, it's a rubbish plan.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. But it was the easiest way to keep, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that kind of concludes the Google Docs subject.
Yeah.
Which brings me to something that has been on our minds probably since December. No, actually, the whole idea of punishment came in when this was going to be a YouTube video. So
it did.
It's probably a good year.
Yeah.
And we still haven't managed to come up with anything. So I thought it might be fun. This is, you know, up for debate, of course. Just because it's on the podcast doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, because I haven't discussed this with you. But in the interest of anybody listening to this, sort of knowing a bit more about us, and in the interest of accountability, we both have plans.
Yes.
And anybody listening to this might not necessarily know what those plans are. So for anybody who doesn't, Paul makes YouTube videos, among other things. And I am a writer, among other things. but both of those things take a lot of time, energy, commitment, and a plan. So
yeah.
I thought we could maybe, at the end of each podcast, you would share a goal
yeah.
that maybe you wanted, or maybe like once a month do this, something you want to get done this month. and I will share something I want to get done this month. And whoever fails, even if we both fail, that person has to take the punishment.
Okay.
What do you think of this idea? Discuss.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, am I going to end up getting punished more podcasts than not?
But are you going to end up actually doing things that you want to do as a consequence of it?
Maybe a little bit more, but I have just spent the last month kind of restructuring the way my days go and the way my day job goes to free up more time for Ivian. And that's been going all right for the last couple of weeks. So maybe, yeah, I'm up for it.
We could start small, you know, like the first goal, for instance, could be to build a daily habit or a weekly habit of doing this. You know, I'm going to set aside this time for myself every week to work on Ivian. And then
I've set that goal already, but I could have...
You could get more specific, though. Like, yeah. As time goes by and you get comfortable doing that one, there's no point... If it's not a challenge, there's no point doing it.
Yeah. So what? Am I setting yours and you're setting mine, or we're setting our own goal?
Well, no, it's your goal. I'm not going to...
Oh, that's all right, then.
Be doing. That would be ridiculous. Yeah,
I was becoming worried.
But probably not very productive.
with the amount of hours editing audio and... trying to match it to the visuals.
Yeah, but your audio could be a thing. You know, that could be one of your goals. I want to get this podcast edited by 4 podcasts from now, for instance.
It's actually going to be a lot quicker than that, I think.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, all right.
So you want to go for it?
You're on. Yeah.
We should probably add here, if we do this, and Hannah, you think it's boring and you don't like it, please let us know.
She's not going to find it boring when people start getting punished.
Probably not, no. But this week it will come off probably as pretty mundane because there won't be a punishment happening this week. But one thing we do
I'm
have
I'm hoping
to decide,
there's not going to be too many punishments happening at all.
Well, it won't be any fun if there isn't.
Yeah.
If we're too good, we'll have to reconsider what we're going to do with this because there has to be some, you know...
Yeah, that's not going to be the only thing that people get punished for. If I have to use the bleep button too many times in an episode because you were loose with your tongue, then you're getting punished.
You always blame me, but most of the time you actually end up swearing worse than I do. If I could read my shirt to you right now, I would probably lose. But as is...
Yes, you would.
I look like the one that swears the most, and yours slip through without you even knowing you're doing it. So I'm not worried.
I don't know, I maybe swear more than you, but I think you swear worse than me. You said worse.
What?
I would say you swear worse than I do. And not only that, when you do it, you feel the need to say it again 2 or 3 times later by pointing out that you said this earlier.
That's because it's funny at that stage. For me, anyway.
You know. Oh, f*** it.
Yeah, you got to, you know, put a bit of rebel out there.
Yeah.
No, but you definitely do it more, I think.
You definitely do it more, I think. It's hard for you to tell because you don't edit it.
It's not, because I pay attention, because you mentioned in like the first one we recorded that was going to be a punishable offence. So I do pay attention, but if you and I were stood in a room together, I would probably swear a lot more than you. But when I know there's a recording device under my nose, I think I'm actually pretty good most of the time.
Yeah.
I'm better now than I was, anyway.
I think we're getting better at this every time we record one. I would hope that that's apparent to the people that are listening, Hannah. And production quality is on the rise as well. So the more of these we do, hopefully the better they sound. I would be disappointed if we're not making any improvement.
Well, be accountable, and we will.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, you're on.
Right, so...
So do I have to set a goal now, or do I have to think of a goal for the next time we record to be my goal?
What about if I go ahead and pick one last subject? I think we've just about got time for one more. And you can be thinking what your goal is going to be during that time, and then we'll do a tell-all at the end.
Okay. Have you got any suggestion for a word of the week?
We haven't really had a fun one yet. Maybe we should do one more subject that makes us laugh a bit more, and that will make it more fun, because I don't want it to be fleet.
No, it's definitely not fleet.
this one should be fun. Social media. Oxymoron?
No.
So you're basically going to answer with an oxymoron.
Oxymoron.
Oh, there's our word of the week.
Yeah, I think we've nailed it. I know why people say yes, but and I agree, but at the same time, I honestly don't see it the same way. Generally speaking, the idea is people are spending too long on Facebook to talk to the people they're in the room with. Yeah, that's what you meant?
More or less, yeah. There's more to it than that, but I'll tell you what I think when you've done yours.
Yeah, with that in mind, I think I've probably spent more time in our life talking to our cousins through social media than I have in a room with them.
Mm-hmm.
I connect with people that I wouldn't connect with under different circumstances if I didn't have the internet.
Yep.
So I would have to say social media does fit the bill for me. I completely understand, and I understand people's fears about like teenagers when they're getting on and people being bullied on the internet.
They don't talk to anyone that's an adult anyway.
No, but the teenagers are, or some teenagers are being bullied in a quite vicious fashion and quite public fashion because of the fact that it's on the internet.
Yeah.
Obviously nobody wants that. But I wouldn't call it an anti-social network. So I think I would only answer... like Reddit is such a social network. You will connect with people on Reddit that you would never connect with ever. You would never bump into them. But because you're both following a subreddit of a specific topic... If you're both interested in it, you can bump into anybody from anywhere.
Well, I sort of agree, and I'm going to tell you why. While you were talking just then, it suddenly occurred to me that I haven't taken a picture and put it on Sibling Rivalry's Instagram for quite some time. So I got my camera up on my phone and I started f***ing around taking pictures, and I stopped listening to what you were saying.
Yeah, that's a good way to agree with anybody.
But it does sort of prove the point. Instagram.
What were you saying, Mr. Trump? I'm sure you're right.
Instagram is social media. I'm not on the fence about it. I do lean more one way than the other. But for the sake of making connections with people who maybe live in America or, you know, Doncaster, as the case may be, it's brilliant. It's a fantastic medium for all of that. But I do also believe it's true that you can be sitting in a room completely ignoring everybody around you. And for me, it's not even that it's an oxymoron. It's more, it's breeding ignorance. I get mad. If I'm having a conversation with somebody, I want eye contact. Like, I give them eye contact. I want somebody to be listening to me. I know that this whole conversation, you know, I can't see your eyes.
I don't like talking to people.
But when I do... I want to know that I'm not wasting my breath. And if there's anything designed to irritate me more, it's somebody sitting there scrolling through Facebook. They've got their head down at their phone. They're not paying the slightest bit of attention. And they're just going,
They're doing what you just did with Instagram.
Every few seconds, yes. And it drives me crazy. Because...
You were so close to a really good Kachansky impression then.
Was I?
Yeah.
Okay.
The cottage cheese with pineapple chunks. It drives me crazy.
I was thinking of the other Kachansky. That's why I didn't get the reference.
Fair enough.
But like this is much the same as a phone call. If somebody is on the phone to me and they're doing something else, it doesn't overly bother me. But if they're sitting right in front of me and they don't have enough respect for me to even pretend that they're paying attention, I just...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I completely understand.
And social media has done that. Once upon a time, the worst that would have happened was walking into the front room of an evening while mum has got her nose in a book. And then I kind of see that as my fault because I can see that she's reading a book when I walk in the room. But if I'm having a conversation with someone and they slide their phone out of their pocket
and they just pulled out a book, that start reading 50 Shades of Grey halfway through a sentence.
Yeah, that would irritate me too. But it would irritate me less because I think reading is good.
They are reading. There's still lots of words on Facebook.
No.
It's worse if they hit the play button on a video.
Yeah.
Don't bother turning it down.
I've genuinely had people do that to me. And, like, people think it's so normal that when you lose your temper or say something about it, they look at you like you're nuts.
But it is normal now.
No, it's not.
No, but it is.
Ignoring someone is normal. Why is it normal? Because of social media, which is why it's an oxymoron.
I don't know. I think BMW drivers and indicators spring to mind. I don't think it's a new thing for people to be ignorant. I think this is just a new and inventive way of doing it.
It's round-the-clock ignorance is what it is. That BMW driver, when he gets out of the car, might be a really nice bloke. He's just a bit of a knobhead when he's behind the wheel. But
yeah.
With social media being on everybody's phone 24/7, there is never a break from it. I remember making rules for people when they've come. It would have been my bedroom once upon a time, but that sounds really dirty. So I should clarify, most of them were the same sex as I am, and I'm not gay.
You saved it with the last line.
Yeah. but I made rules saying, you know, like, once you're in here and we're talking or doing something, that phone stays either in your pocket or in your bag, unless there's a real need for you to get it out. The phone, just to clarify again, we are in the bedroom.
Some people really need to take a selfie.
No, they don't. There is rarely a time where you actually need to take a selfie. And selfie, the fact that that's now an accepted part of the English language drives me nuts, and that wouldn't have happened without social media either.
I don't know, the selfie doesn't offend me. There's lots of words that do grate me the wrong way, but selfie's not one of them.
It is for me.
I think it's fairly descriptive. It works.
No.
I can go with selfie.
No. I know this is going off on a tangent here, but the reason it bugs me isn't because of what it is. Obviously, selfie is an abbreviated version of self-portrait, but it's because everybody says, let's take a selfie, and then they don't take a selfie. It's like that word is slowly coming to replace photograph for some people. And I'm like, that's not a selfie. You didn't take a picture of yourself.
What, you mean they take a photograph and they're not in?
Yeah! I've heard so many people say, oh, let's take a selfie. And then they don't take a picture of themselves. And I'm like, what?
Well, then they're an idiot.
Yes, but they're everywhere. And this is what
happens.
That's
not
when
what selfie means
down.
In the new accepted version of it.
Portrait, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not the word. They may as well go, let's take an elephant of ourselves.
If it was
they're
still
just using
referred
the wrong word.
To as a self-portrait, I bet money not so many people would go, let's take a self-portrait and then take a picture of a lion at the zoo. Because the clue is in the name. Half of these people don't know what it means in the first place.
Yeah, you're starting to sound quite old.
I am old.
It might be time to wrap this up.
Okay, have you come up with a goal?
Yeah.
Hold yourself accountable, brother. What you got?
Oh, what, am I going first?
If you want. You don't have to. I can lead if you like. If you need an extra 30 seconds to think of something.
No, I've already got my goal.
Go on then.
What's my time frame? A month?
Whatever you like. What would you like to do? I mean, we can swap and change this around if we need to, but if you want a monthly goal, go for it.
Okay, so monthly goal is to have my new set animated and ready to go.
And how far into this are you already? Just so we know if you're being a soft touch on yourself or not.
About 20 hours.
In or left?
Done. Yeah, I anticipate it, because I'm rubbish, I anticipate it to take maybe 100 hours.
He's not lying either, he really is rubbish.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I don't I never took a selfie with my 3D drawing on the wall. Which I think we've mentioned before.
Jeremy Beadle.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I so wish we had a photo of that. But just for anybody out there that wants to know.
Oh, have you know, 3D Ivian's hands are awesome.
But are they the same size as each other?
Yeah, because the way you 3D animate is to essentially, you tell it to do one side and it replicates it on the other side.
this thing that Paul drew on the wall when we were kids, we call it Jeremy Beadle because he had, you know.
No, we don't.
Yeah, but you know who I'm talking about when I say Jeremy Beadle.
Yeah, but nobody in America or Canada or Australia or France does.
That's why I'm taking the time to explain. But anyway, that's his name. I won't go into the whys just to not confuse people, but it had one hand that was like giant. It was like
it wasn't giant, it was just closer.
The rest of his body.
It was closer.
Which is his argument. He says he was trying to draw it so, like, the hand was reaching out towards the person looking, rather than down by its side like the other arm was. But that's not how it
looked. The thing is, you never mentioned the fact that the hand was basically like a 3-inch diameter circle with five single pencil lines coming off of it.
In fairness, that's not far different from what you do now. What's the point in mentioning it?
Shut off. I'm much better than that now. I have Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly. Does it all for you. But I found it most amusing when I was about 6 and we started peeling my bedroom wallpaper off and found that underneath.
Yeah, your bedroom wallpaper.
It was mine.
Yeah, because you just had to be born and take my room from me.
The ridiculous clown spotted wallpaper that was all over that bedroom?
No, the wallpaper was definitely
yours.
There
you are, then.
The room was mine until you came along, and then I got shoved in with our brother.
I'm afraid you're going to have to take that one up with Mum and Dad. I didn't make it go in there.
Yeah. Anyway, come on, wrap this up.
Yes, let's.
I have things to do.
But first.
Oh, no, we need your goal.
Okay. My goal is driven by somebody who is going to say hello. Say hello. Okay, he's not going to say hello.
Or not.
What's the matter, Smelly?
I want you.
Okay, stop crying and say hello then.
No!
Say hello, Uncle Paul, and hello, everybody listening to this podcast. Okay, he doesn't want to. Mine is to finish this draft of the book I'm working on at the minute and finish the final edit. I intend to go straight back into it after I've finished writing this draft and just, you know, polish it up a bit. And as a part of that, I would like to have a long list of prospective agents prepared, ready to start querying by the time I finish the edit. So that's my goal.
Sorted. Well, good luck.
I shall need it. And in the interests of me being transparent, I'm about halfway through writing the second from last chapter.
Excellent.
Okay, so come 4 podcasts from now. Well, depending on the recording schedule, 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, we'll try and aim for that.
The closest podcast to the 4-week mark, we will share the results and see if anybody's in a forfeit.
Sorted.
So, thank you to everybody out there for podcasting with me and Paul. If you've got any questions or basically anything you want to say, Hannah, you should know this by now, woman. We're at SiblingRivalry8 on Twitter.
Did you just assume Hannah's gender? Sorry, go on.
You can email us at siblingrivalrydisorder@gmail.com. Give us a little nudge on Instagram at Sibling Rivalry Disorder, and Facebook, you'll have to search for Sibling Rivalry Disorder. And we'll speak to you in about a week with a bit of luck. You take care of yourself, Paul.
Yeah, you too. I'll see you all later.
Have fun. Shut up, I'm doing the 10 seconds, dickhead.